ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am the host of the show, and I'm really excited that you're here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the show. I welcome your comments. I welcome your questions. If you head over to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page where the live is showing, you can actually type into the comment section your comments, your questions, thoughts, or ideas, and I can respond to those live while we're on the air. So if you have comments or questions about what we're talking about today, please jump on. Appreciate that very much. And also, if you think about it, like, subscribe, and share. Let everybody know we're here. Tell all your friends, share it with everybody out there. So before we get started, so our topic today, our topic is kind of a continuation from our last show. We're going to talk a little bit more about appreciation, from appreciation to happiness, creating a super highway of joy. And I see that Peter has just joined us, so I'm going to bring him in shortly. This idea of appreciation for me is very foundational to my spiritual life, to my life in general, and creating that space of appreciation, which opens up the door to expressing and being in a state of happiness, to me is really what this whole journey for me is about. So that's why I'm excited today to have Peter Jennings with us. He's an amazing author. He's considered the happiness expert. We're going to get into his details in just a second here. But before we do, a couple things I want to share with you before we go. So we'll be right back right after this. All right. Going to talk for just a second here. I got my buttons going and everything. So Fear is a Choice is the name of my book. And I encourage you, fearisachoicebook.com. Check it out. There's some great videos and testimonials on the website. This book is powerful because the book is about changing your relationship with fear. And when you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything. And part of that whole process is part of what we're going to talk about today. Changing that relationship involves things like appreciation and seeking that state of joy and happiness. But Fear is a Choice is really about understanding the evolution of fear in our experience so that you can see that it's been with us and is with us for a long time, but it's been moved into or changed or morphed into something more than what it is. And so saying fear is a choice is about understanding that ultimately we all have the ability to choose what our focus is. And for me, what I've discovered in my life is that fear is probably the biggest hindrance to the things that we want to create because it dumbs down our experience. We retract from life instead of engaging life. So fearisachoicebook.com, check it out. It's amazing. Out at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, there are links on the website there that you can use to also to order as well. All right. Thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side. All right, my world is good, guys. This is a movement that I started this year that I'm very excited about. I kind of self-proclaimed this year as the year of conscious creation. I think every year is a year of conscious creation, but I wanted to bring it conscious. I wanted to make it present in our lives. So the year of conscious creation is about really about focusing into becoming aware of the influences and energies and things that we choose in our lives and where they lead us. And so this kind of general, or this sort of neutral positive statement, my world is good, was my way of reaching out to all of us individually, meaning I sort of see us in this world in the 7.5 billion to 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And my perception is this because nobody can live my life for me and I can't live my life for you. No one can live my life. No one can live your life. No one can change your life except you. No one can really build your life except you. So I see that as sort of its own world. And within the context of that world, we see and we perceive out in the world. And that perception is a direct reflection of the beliefs that we hold, the ideas that we hold, the thoughts that we believe. And so I wanted to introduce something into each of our worlds that would bring some harmony and a universal energy that we could contribute to the change in a mass consciousness so that rather than having this negatively focused and charged experience, we can do something different. And that's where My World is Good is about. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And you say that and you feel it and you speak it. And as you do, you generate that energy and you begin to build the momentum of my world is good. And then your perception begins to change because you begin to see more of the goodness in the world. And then add into that appreciation, add into that tapping into your joy, and suddenly you've created a huge paradigm in your own life and a powerful transformation. So this movement is awesome because it doesn't require anything but your energy, your intention, and your attention. Focus, feel it, speak it, feel it some more, and do it often. And you will see a change. And that change will begin to bring us together, our energies together, in the harmony of my world is good, which can create a tipping point in the mass consciousness that we begin to see more goodness in the world and begin to generate more goodness in the world. So join me on this wonderful journey here. I don't need your emails or your money for it. I just want your focus, attention, and sharing. Share this and send it out into the world. I greatly appreciate it. And on the other side, we're going to introduce Peter and we're going to start to talk about the day. So we'll be back on the other side. Okay, guys, be right back. All right, we are back. I'm going to make sure I'm pushing my right buttons. Good stuff. So here we go. I'm going to introduce Peter here. We're going to bring him in just a second. He sent me this piece that I think is awesome because this whole process for me about appreciation and learning about happiness and how to create this joy experience. We've talked about this at the beginning of the week, had one amazing human being on here with us and now another expert in this field who I think can help us all as we're talking about this, share experiences and ideas and concepts and understandings that will help you to better understand and help you to pick up that mantle for yourself. So Peter Jennings is an author. He's an author of, I got two pieces here. So he's an author of 8 books, I think, so far and more to come. So renowned sociologist Dr. Christine Carter of the University of California Greater Good Science Center has labeled Peter a happiness expert. She regularly appears with Oprah and Dr. Oz in all of the best newspapers and magazines, and she's got creds and degrees from all over the place. Pete was surprised to find her calling a happiness expert and told her that. And she said, just a moment, Peter. She said, I don't know anyone who's interviewed 37 people from around the world about happiness. I don't know of anyone who's interviewed several international PhDs studying positive psychology to get their educated take on the science of happiness. And I don't know anyone who's been able to take all this information and synthesize it into a highly readable, accessible book that is both entertaining and informative. You, sir, are a happiness expert. And with that, I welcome to the show, Peter Jennings. Good morning, Peter. How are you? I don't hear you, my friend. Let's see here. You are unmuted, but I don't hear you. Oh, no. Oh, we're going to try and start again here, see what we get. Oh, whoops, Peter. My bad. Hold on. My ears. Let me make sure I have my ears on.
Hold on now. Testing one, two.
I see. I hear you. I have my ears in.
Okay. Very good, Jim. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. And I want to say my world is good, too. My world is better. You know, we're going to be talking about happiness, and thank you for talking about Christine calling me a happiness expert. I don't know whether I am or not, but I do know a fair amount about the subject, that's for sure. And one thing I'm sure of is that happiness is a choice. You talked about fear being a choice, and we can talk more about that because I agree with that. But I think people overlook the fact that happiness is a choice. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to be happy, chances are you're going to be happy. If you choose to be a curmudgeon, you're going to be unhappy. A lot of people want to be a curmudgeon. We want to be happy. And, you know, in the book that I wrote, called A Guide to Happiness, I happened to interview, and this is what Christine was referring to, I interviewed a number of international PhDs who are doing work on what they call positive psychology. We call it happiness. Mm-hmm. But, Jim, listen to this, because they gave me a list of 8 things that if you want to be happy, here's what you get out of it, okay? You earn you earn more money, you make better decisions, you perform at a higher level, you enjoy greater levels of trust, you negotiate better, you have more self-confidence, and you maintain higher quality relationships. Now, if ever there was an argument for happiness, that's got to be. Who wouldn't want that?
Exactly. And the thing that's amazing and sort of connecting the dot from the beginning to the outcome is, in my experience, this extraordinary kind of unfolding that happens when you begin down that path of appreciation and you're choosing happiness, you're choosing that joy, that it begins to open up things so that you begin to experience yourself in ways that you never really thought of before. I mean, for myself and personally, as I've embarked on this journey, I mean, 5 years ago, I would never think this is where I would be sitting today. 10 years ago, even. But what happened for me in that process that you're talking about is that in choosing each day, in stepping into appreciation and then letting that create this amazing flow of energy in joy and happiness, it took my potentiality. It's the best way I can describe it. Is my potential was here. And when I decided to let go of fear and when I decided to open up to this idea of appreciation, my potential blossomed. So I was available to things that I never would have thought of before, because from here you can't see as much. From here you can see a whole lot more. What are your thoughts about that?
I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, you talk about fear, you talk about appreciation. Appreciation, I think, is so crucial to not just happiness, but to having a good life. I try to make it a practice, Jim, each morning to start with giving appreciation for something in my life, whether it's a person, whether it's my 2 dogs, whether it's a new friend or somebody who's reviewed one of my books well or whatever. I think if you give appreciation, and by the way, when I say I give appreciation, I say it out loud. I don't know whether I'm talking to God or Buddha or whoever.
Exactly.
I think what matters is that you are expressing appreciation. For instance, the other day, I expressed appreciation for Ken Foster. Ken had me on his Voices of Courage program. He said, after you, I'll talk to Jim Case. I think Jim would like to have you on his show. And now here we are, you and me together doing this show. And so I really appreciate the fact that I learned about Ken and that sort of thing. So appreciation is incredibly important towards achieving happiness, I think.
I love how you described it, because I have the exact same experience. When I do a practice twice a day, when I do my appreciation segment, it is a free form experience, meaning I speak it out loud and I just go with whatever is coming through me in the moment. So this is important, I think, to understanding the process of appreciation. Is it doesn't matter where you start and it doesn't matter what you appreciate. It's that you do. You know, so for me, it's a process of I start wherever the first thought I have. I had an interaction with a good friend that just felt great. I appreciate so much having that amazing interaction. And I appreciate that I got to have that phone call, and I appreciate what it led me to feel afterwards. And I appreciate that I have so many amazing people in my life that support me. And I appreciate that I have an incredible amount of love that's constantly surrounding me. And I appreciate that I can engage with that. And I appreciate, you see, that there is an organic flow that when you go there, it creates a natural momentum. And that to me is extraordinary, because you can ride that wave for as long as you choose to.
Because so many of us probably feel appreciation, but we never stop and actually say it. We don't articulate it. We don't put it out there and feel it.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. When you do that, that's taking you into a whole different level. It's really putting you out there and allowing you to express that appreciation. And I guarantee, if people express their appreciation, happiness will follow. There is no question about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, we are going to do every show. I like to begin with getting us introduced and kind of setting the tone for where we're going.
Yep.
And then I'm going to take a moment here to focus. So I'm going to send you to the green room for a few minutes. We're going to do a little meditation.
Right.
This is a process for me of, one, putting my money where my mouth is, because I encourage people about their daily practice. But secondly, is also working with breath just a little bit, and bringing our energies together. I'm a firm believer in that concept of where two or more are gathered.
Yeah.
That when we focus our energies, I like for our listeners and for our viewers to kind of get on the same wavelength, so that as we're talking, we're answering questions and giving information and support and tools that are viable and valuable to the people that are participating with us. So we will be back just on the other side, and I'll have you back in just a second.
Okay.
All right. So let's take that moment to focus, guys. Let's just shake out wherever you are. If you're sitting, you're standing, you're laying down, just bring yourself present into this moment right now. I want you to focus your breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And currently just let that flow naturally for whatever, however that rhythm flows for you. Because this first section is all about just being in the moment, getting present in your body and experiencing you in this moment. So taking a deep breath in through the nose and releasing it out through the mouth. And as you do, just feel any tension, any stuff, just let it leave with the breath. Just let it leave for this moment right now. Let it leave with the breath. And I want you to bring your awareness into your heart, into the center of your chest. I want you to focus your breath and awareness there. And as you're focused into that space, I want you to become aware of your field. Your field is the energy that surrounds you. It is the you of who you really are. It is this magnificent field of energetic experience that emanates from us. And I just want you to become aware of it in whatever form you become aware of it. Maybe you feel it, maybe you see it, maybe you sense it. All of it's good. But just become aware of your field and the enormity of who you are in reality, not just limited to this physical vessel. So feeling into that experience as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to become aware as you see this field, as you experience your field, become aware and notice that there are things that hang out in that field. Some of them are kind of dense. Some of them are really dense. Some of them feel almost thick. Just be aware of those things. You don't have to attend to them. Just want you to be aware of them, because there are things that are occupying your field all the time. And it's important to become conscious of the things that are occupying your energy, because they take sections and parts of your energy depending on the intensity of whatever that experience is, or that feeling, or that belief, or that idea, or the distraction. Because it can be everything from the sound of a dog barking to a fight you had with your spouse to an issue with work to a spiritual, you know, situation. It can be all kinds of things, and it is all kinds of things. But what I want you to do in this awareness, as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, is just to become aware of them. And then I want you to leave them where they are. And I want you to pull your field into your heart. I want you to bring your field inside of you. I want you to experience the inside of you. This is important. This is necessary to becoming more conscious of your experience, because this physical body, while it manages itself, the more awareness you can have of it, the more involved you can be in the process of supporting it, because you build a dialogue, because you build a communication process as you do this. So pull that field into the center of your heart, into that space, and you'll feel it, because you'll feel a warmth. You'll feel a tingly sensation through your body as you feel this energy building in your heart space. And then I want you to just allow that consciousness to travel inside your body. So let it move around. Move your body if you need to. Just feel it moving inside of you as it moves around up into your head, and experience the inside of your head, your brain, your sinuses, the behind the eyeballs. Experience that for just a moment and let that consciousness roam around. And as you're experiencing the brain, trace around, go down through the brain stem to where it connects to the spinal cord, and be in the experience of that amazing cord that runs through up and down your entire body, surrounded by fluid, protected by bone structure, and the nerves that come off of that spinal cord, and trace where they go, and just be in awareness of this extraordinary cord that is vital to our life experience. And let it travel through the torso, through the organs. Just be aware. And if you find yourself noticing some discomfort or noticing something you're not sure, just focus that breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Expand the energy around it and let it dissipate. Let that relax a little deeper. Let that consciousness roam through the arms and the legs. And just be in the experience of you for just this moment. And as you take your next breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to now focus all of that energy and breath into the chest, into the heart space again. And we're going to focus into your breath for just a moment. We're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to rest in fullness for a moment. And then we're going to purge from the mouth to a count of six, so that we can release the deepest and oldest air in the lungs, purging that energy and air, getting ready for newness. And as we get to the emptiness, we'll sit there for a moment. And then we'll inhale again to a count of four, bringing in all of this amazing new energy. And why I do this is because breath is a cornerstone of our experience of our life. It is chi, it is prana, it is life force. And when we learn to consciously interact with our breath, it changes our consciousness, it changes our energy, it changes that field, and it changes the way we interact in life, because we begin to connect differently. And so using the breath is a powerful tool. So let's focus that right now, and just be aware of how you breathe as you're breathing, right? So we're going to inhale now to a count of four. Inhaling, two, three, four. And you're feeling full. You're relaxing the shoulders and the neck as you're full. And then you're going to consciously release and purge from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. And now I want you to rest in that emptiness. Rest in that void space. Powerful, powerful space. And then engage the lungs in healing, inhaling, two, three, four, feeling full, feeling rich, feeling amazing, and then consciously releasing it and surrendering it to the breath, two, as you exhale, three, four, five, six, and there we are at the emptiness, in the void, ready to receive, feeling the joy in the emptiness as you engage the lungs and inhale again. Two, three, four, feeling that fullness, breath in 360 degrees, feeling full, and then consciously releasing all of it. Two, three, four, five, six, staying with it, feeling the emptiness, being in that void and just being present in it. And now continue the breath process on your own for a moment, just listening to my voice. Feeling that air again as you inhale, inhaling 360 degrees, feeling the full, rich fullness of all of that amazing oxygen and energy that's filling your space right now and oxygenating the cells of your body, and feeling that great feeling of fullness, and then surrendering it all as you purge that air out, getting ready to empty empty completely to be able to receive what's next. The story of life, sitting in that void, and then continuing the breath process on, never-ending cycle of taking, integrating, releasing, and being open to what's next. Take these words, let them wash over you, experience them how you do. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage. I am. And just breathe it in, feeling it as you continue to complete the breath cycle. And as you do now, I want you to allow your energy, all that energy that you focused of you into the heart space, allow that to expand in its gloriousness back out into the universe and just watch it. Watch how powerfully and large and amazing your field is. Generate with all that powerful energy. You can see the sparkle, you can see the glow. And bring you back now into this conversation as I bring Peter back in. And we carry on with this incredible conversation, which we have started here.
And Jim, thank you for that breathing exercise. You know, I need to remind myself to do that more often. I do it every time I watch your live cast, but because it is. It's so helpful. It really is.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. I'm so glad. So I thought that a good place to start here, and especially since we have the happiness expert, as it were, let's talk about defining happiness. I know happiness has gotten a kind of an interesting life over at least my lifetime, as far as how do we look at happiness? How do we define it? Let's start with your experience and we'll go from there.
Well, I'm a pretty simple lad. I did interview all these PhDs and they had pretty educated, sophisticated definitions. But to me, happiness, it just means it's joyfulness, it's contentment, it's satisfaction, it's looking at the positive side of things, it's being up. Jim, I'm probably the question I get asked the most. People ask me, what can I do to be happy? Mm-hmm. And my answer to them is, first of all, happiness isn't so much about doing as it is about being. We are, after all, happy human beings, not human doings. And so the question, I think, should be, what can I do to be happy? And I'm going to share with you and your viewers some thoughts on that. But let me start with a name that some of you will recognize, and that is the philosopher from Germany, Immanuel Kant. He was a bright guy, very well spoken, very educated, very detailed thoughts. But interestingly enough, when it came to happiness, he boiled it down to three simple things. He said, happiness to him is something to do, someone to love, something to hope for. That's it. Here is this incredible mind, this philosopher, and he says, if you want happiness, it'll give you something to do, someone to love, something to hope for. You'll get happiness.
Interesting.
The other thing is that I tell people, happiness is not rocket science. As I said earlier, it's a choice you make. But there are a bunch of things that I interviewed 37 people from around the world about happiness. And part of what I learned is this. If you hang out with happy people, you'll be happy. Because happiness is contagious. Hanging out with you makes me happier because you're a happy guy. You do it with your life and you talk about it, and that's great. Another thing, volunteer. If you are, I'm retired at this point. I was used to be in the marketing communications business. I'm now busier than I've ever been writing books, but I'm sort of retired from the day job. So I do have a little bit more access to my time, and I make sure that I volunteer. And when you volunteer to help other people, it brings happiness. Now, this is joining a charity or just helping an old lady across the street. It doesn't matter. Volunteering brings happiness. Be loving. You'll get love back, and will that make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. Be grateful. Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. And Jim, I got to tell you, that is so important. I think of the 37 people I interviewed, virtually every one of them said that in one way or the other. Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. Too often people are so envious of, oh, my neighbor's got a boat, or my friend's got a car, or they've got a bigger house or a greener lawn or whatever. That's wonderful. But look at what you've got and focus on that, not on what you don't have.
Yeah, and, good.
Yeah, the other thing that I tell people is enjoy simplicity. Again, is not rocket science. Take pleasure in the budding flowers of spring, the first snowfall of winter, the last rainstorm of summer, the golden leaves of fall. It's simple. Take advantage of that and you'll be happy.
I have a friend who actually lives in an apartment down from me, and we regularly go on nonsensical adventures. And those nonsensical adventures are just, I live in Colorado and I live in the foothills. So I'm very near the mountains, and we both are avid mountain people. And, but it doesn't matter where we go together. We will drive anywhere and spend the entire time going, oh, did you see that? Look at the colors over there. Look at how the sun is hitting those rocks over there. Every time we drive through here, it's different. And every time we drive through here, it's a whole new experience. And so we engage each other in the joy of the moment, and to all of those wonderful things you were talking about ways to step into that. They're all amazing because they are simple. It's just a matter of focus. It's a matter of what you choose to put your attention on. And then once you put your attention on it, how do you engage it? Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, in a sort of structured way, because I know I can. There are lots of people who say, yeah, but what about, and there's this, and there's this, and it's like, yeah, there is this, this, and this, and there's this too. So do you want to see this from the vantage point? And this is what I think is really significant to me in understanding appreciation and gratitude and how that fills into happiness, is that the choice in perception changes the choice of my focus. So I'm always looking to joy. I'm always looking to, I have this thing in front of me, but what happens is that the things that show up that may not be as positively focused just become objects in the field of my awareness, meaning they don't come at me and stick to me. They show up and I have the opportunity to engage them because I've made a choice to focus in a way that's not about problems, but is about that joy, that satisfaction, that. When I look in my world, I want to perceive beauty. I want to perceive love. I want to perceive joy. So when things show up that don't match that reflection, I get the chance to attend to them as opposed to being overwhelmed by them. So,
And Jim, if I can pick up on two words in that beautiful dissertation you just did, choice and simplicity. And yes. I guess I'll come back to what we said right off the top. Happiness is a choice.
It's a choice.
Or not. And simplicity, it is not rocket science. It's not something you have to, oh my gosh, I want to spend money or devote time or do exercises or whatever. No, it's simple things like Jim was just saying. Appreciate what's around you. I mean, that's huge. You do that and you will be happier. I guarantee it.
Absolutely will. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about building that relationship with appreciation. I want to hear, you know, what your experience is, and I want to share some of the things that I have experienced. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, initially, Peter's going to get to talk to you guys about his work and what he's been doing, and you'll get to meet him kind of one-on-one a little bit. So we'll be back in just a second to carry on with that. We'll be right back.
Science of Transformation method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. If you're ready to change your relationship with fear, if you're ready to change your relationship with joy, Science of Transformation is a powerful program that can help you do that. So check it out. There are lots of good information. You can sign up for a free introductory call with me. We can talk about introductory packages, and you can see some definitely see some testimonials and some videos about the program. Happy to chat with you about it further. And we're going to take it up now and bring Peter back in. And Peter, I'm turning it over to you. I have, I do have the happiness book up here, and I can grab whatever we need. But I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Well, talk with the people.
That's very good of you. As I mentioned earlier, my career was in marketing communications, advertising, marketing. And I retired a number of years ago, and one of the favorite things I did as creative director was writing. But I was always writing for other people, for clients. So when I retired back in 2009, I decided, hey, time to start writing for me. My first book was Shark Assault. I'm a nonfiction writer, by the way. And Shark Assault was all about a nurse who survived barely being attacked twice by a shark in Cancun, Mexico. She came very close to dying. She had her left arm amputated, almost lost her left leg. And yet, Jim, you should have her on your show someday because she is the most positive, happiest lady I've ever met. And she has every reason not to be, but she's overcome that. I've also written the book, as I mentioned, about happiness, a guide to happiness. I interviewed 37 people from around the world who taught me about how they managed to be or stay happy in pretty unhappy times. And there's a lot of learning from that. In fact, I think before the end of today's show, if there's time, I've got 7 rules for happiness I would like to share with you. Also, wrote a book called For Want of 40 Pounds, an amazing story about a gentleman, Bert Mann, who currently, Bert's 94 years of age now, happily married to a 61-year-old lady. They live in Mexico. But Bert is a young man. His name was Berthold Skirman. He was a young Jewish boy, and he walked all the way through Austria. This is back in 1939. Walked all the way through Austria, all the way through Germany, all the way through Holland, stowed away in a ship, and made it up to England to escape Hitler's thugs. Recently, I've written a couple of books, Until I Smile at You, which is the story of Ruth Lowe, who wrote the song that dynamized Frank Sinatra's career into the stratosphere, I'll Never Smile Again. She went on to write Sinatra's theme song, Put Your Dreams Away, but she was a very courageous lady. She experienced a great deal of hardship and stress in her life, but she overcame it, and it was a pleasure to write about her. I also wrote a book called Ruth's Wonderful Song, and it's the story of Ruth writing that famous song for Sinatra, but it's for kids. First time I've written a kid's book. My newest book, which I'll talk about actually a little bit more in a minute because I think it ties into your theme about fear, is called Pushing the Boundaries. It's going to be published next month or May, and I've interviewed 32 people from around the world who kind of think outside the box and have decided that they can overcome the fear of changing the way they look at life and move ahead. And I think it's pretty instructive. And lastly, the book I'm working on right now is called Icons, Growing Up in the Shadow of Greatness. It's pretty cool. I'm interviewing sons and daughters of some pretty famous people to see how that upbringing has impacted their life. Recently, I've talked with Rod Roddenberry, son of the famous Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek. I've interviewed Ken Ross, the son of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote the famous book on handling grief in death. Karen Davidson, who is a fourth generation working member of the family, of the Harley-Davidson motorcycle family. So I'm interviewing lots of really neat people, and that book will probably come out either end of this year or beginning of next year.
So, fantastic.
Thank you for that, the opportunity to do my little commercial.
Absolutely. And all that stuff, guys, you can find at www.peterjennings.me.
Right.
He also has a very extensive Amazon page that has all of the good stuff there as well. But his website is great. You can go there to check out all of his books, and please do. Some really amazing stuff, and it's all sourced from the same energy that he brings to the show today. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you.
All right. So we defined happiness. We're going to take just a minute here to talk about that creating that relationship with appreciation, setting the foundation for the choice in happiness. Mm-hmm. And then, as you alluded to, we'll spend a couple minutes at as we close to talk about the list that you had of, you say, the eight things?
Seven things.
Seven rules, which I think would be a great way to close the show today. So.
Good. So
creating a relationship with appreciation, I don't want to have a big discussion because it's its own topic, but I tend to see gratitude and appreciation in different lights. Mm-hmm. I see gratitude is, I can have gratitude for you for coming on the show. I can have gratitude to someone for something they've done for me or given to me, or, you know, in some fashion. Appreciation for me is a different animal because appreciation includes me in the equation, meaning I am the creator of my reality. So if I am appreciating, my involvement in the creation of whatever is happening. And I appreciate all of the elements that I get to see, because appreciation opens my eyes to all the things, all the cooperative components that exist in my world that help me to continue choose happiness. So in appreciation, I'm constantly seeking those. Wow, look at that flower. Look at that interchange I had over there. Look at that cool experience. Look at the light that happened over there. And it pulls my attention in a way that, to me, gratitude is, it's not worse or better, it's just different. So I like to generate, and because gratitude tends to be very rooted to me in my own, you know, construct, in more religious thought, mm-hmm. and less in spiritual thought. So I tend to move toward appreciation than gratitude. But as I've gotten older, and as I've, of course, broken down a lot of those thought processes, I don't fight with them. I just tend to love how appreciation feels more.
Yeah. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, so creating that relationship, and you say, well, how do you do that? And I say it's really as simple as what I showed earlier from my perspective, and that is pick anything, start anywhere. You know, I used to, when I first started working with appreciation, it was crazy awkward because you don't think about including yourself in the process of your creations or involving yourself in that way. At least to me, again, coming from a kind of a religious background, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus, thank you, all of that. Instead of, look at what I've done. Look at what I've participated in. And so when I first started, it was like, this is really weird. I appreciate the sunshine. I appreciate the breeze. Okay, this is strange. I appreciate the, keep going. Because soon it will take it internal. You'll stop looking at everything external and you'll start to go to feeling. And it'll then be about, I appreciate how I feel this morning. I appreciate I get to drive to work. I appreciate I have a job. I appreciate that I'm going to get to interact with amazing people today. I appreciate how the air feels today. It feels different. I love how that feels. I appreciate how my body feels today, because you start to connect in a different way. So that's how I see building a relationship with appreciation, is start anywhere and just start talking out loud. Because it's awkward at first, but then it builds into this magnificent, what you just saw me do. Every time I do that, that happens. That generation of energy in my body lifts, and my thing, you know, I get excited because it's a cool, cool thing to be feeling. So, Peter, I'd love to have your feedback on that and your thoughts about appreciation.
Well, Jim, I sent you an email a couple of days ago because you talked, and I gave you full marks for doing this. You had a pretty knockdown, drag-out.
Yeah.
your spouse, Michael. And yeah. A lot of people would not talk about that. They keep that inside, but you chose to talk about it. And you talked about how the two of you resolved it, which was very cool. And I was so moved that I sent you an email.
You did.
So many people, I mean, they would never let themselves go to talk about such a thing. But because you have mastered the ability to appreciate and to feel and to see the benefits of talking about such things, how it came, and it was beneficial not just for you, but for all of us to hear it. The other thing I think is from an appreciation standpoint, I've been very fortunate to interact with Jack Canfield. Now, some of you know he is the co-author of the incredibly famous, incredibly successful Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Yeah. And Jack was good enough to write the foreword for my new book coming out in a month or so, Pushing the Boundaries.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, he talks about fear, and I want to get back to that because I know that's something that you've been talking about, Jim. But let me get my glasses on so I can read what he wrote. He said, are you ready to take chances to achieve your goals, or is fear standing in your way? The fact is, fear is the single biggest thing that holds us back. Unless you can step past that fear, you'll end up playing it safe and avoiding new things. And I really appreciate learning from people like Jack Canfield, learning from people like Jim Case. And I'm not afraid to express that. I don't know everything. I like to think I know a fair amount. I like to think I'm kind of really interesting folks. But I'm always open to learn. And learning to push aside fear and open your life up to doing new things means that you enhance your life. You take on new meaning to your life, and I can guarantee you happiness will follow when you do that.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so we have about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So how much time would you like for to talk about your seven pieces here?
Now and then
we'll bring a wrap to it.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to put my glasses on to make sure I get these right. Number one,
these are the seven
things that I have learned from talking to people around the world about happiness. If I synthesize it down, here it is. Number one, we are each accountable for our own happiness. It's up to us to take control of how we feel. We have the power to choose happiness. It's a decision you make. Really important. Number two, as I said before, hang out with happy people. It's contagious. Absorb their habits to become even happier while enjoying simplicity and taking pleasure, as Jim was saying before, in the ordinary things in life, the beautiful scenes around you, whatever. Number three, happiness comes from helping others. Don't forget to give back and volunteer. You know, I'm very lucky. I was brought up in a family. We actually had a Latin motto, ut prossim alis. Literally translated, that means to put others first. And I was brought up with that ethic, and so I've tried to do that in my life. Well, not everybody has that, but everybody can volunteer to help someone or something. And happiness will follow when you do. Number four, be loving. You'll get love back. Rupinder Gill, who is a writer, she told me happiness grows when you do what you love in life. Again, it's simple, but think about that. Happiness grows when you do what you love in life. Number five, Be grateful. Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. I indicated earlier, everybody said that in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And it is so important. It's so easy to forget. We all covet what other people have. Put it aside. Focus on what you've got, not on what you don't have. Number six, and this I got, by the way, from Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, who teaches about happiness at Harvard University. We all know Harvard for Harvard Law, Harvard Biz, Harvard Meds. Biggest lecture in Harvard in their history is Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar's lecture on happiness. He has a group of rules about happiness. Number four, simplify. Practice saying no to others to create time for yourself. And finally, number seven, learn how not to take stuff personally. A sense of humor is an incredible skill for happiness. Going back to the beginning, Dr. Christine Carter at the University of California, she talks about the importance of being able to withstand teasing. If somebody teases you, we're not talking about bullying here, by the way. We're not talking about bullying. We're talking about teasing. It means they like you and they want to take the mickey out of you. Well, your ability to laugh at that and laugh at yourself means you have contentment and you are happy. So those are the seven top things that I learned, Jim, in interviewing those people and in writing my book, A Guide to Happiness. And they're in the book, and people can benefit from them and a variety of other things in the book.
Yeah, love that. There's and all of that. All of it is to me right up my alley as well. It's all things. I was struck. One of the things that. And maybe this is a conversation for another time, but when you're talking about being grateful for what you have, mm-hmm. again, that translation piece for me, understanding it's important in gratitude that the challenge sometimes with gratitude is that we're seeing gratitude across the lake of lack. I'm grateful for what I have. I really wish I had more. I'm grateful for what I have. and so bring appreciation to the gratefulness so that you can be grateful for what you have and appreciate it, because when you appreciate it, you're appreciating it in the now moment of what you are experiencing right here, right now. And you can get there with gratitude as well. I'm just offering an alternative to that because it's I think it's just as powerful. But all of these things, sense of humor and being loving, and I love the volunteering piece too, that being able to put yourself out in a way, whether it's volunteering, being of service, putting yourself in a space of service. And the cool thing about that is that you can actively step into like going and volunteering, or you can be available and that service can show up in so many ways. Like you were saying, walking somebody across the street or, in little ways, but those little things have such a profound impact on the rest of even the rest of a day, when we get to do those things. So I just love that.
They make you happy and they make the person you're helping happy. So it's a double win. And Jim, you're right. I mean, we could go on talking, but you and I think acknowledged up front, we probably got lots more we can talk about.
We absolutely do.
Back on another live cast, if you like. We could probably go on for hours about this, but I have very much enjoyed talking with you about some of these matters. It's important, but again, happiness is not rocket science. It's easily accessible.
Yes. And if there's any message that I think I would love to reinforce here is that it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
The brain and the mind at times can make it very complicated, and it's not. And it's simply sometimes a matter of just saying to the mind, I'm gonna try this from a different perspective. I'm gonna look over here now. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna stop looking over here. And sometimes that's what it takes, because when we've given permission over the course of our lives for our mind to run the show, you're retraining a process here. You're retraining your muscles to perceive differently, to engage differently. It doesn't mean that it takes months or years to do. It just takes focus and intention to do, like you did to get where you are. And you may have done that more unconsciously. And so that's, I think, what I love what you're bringing to the table here, Peter, is that it's all about, all of these things are things that require us to be conscious of the experience of happiness. Okay. You can't accidentally fall into happiness. I mean, I guess you can, but if you're unconscious of it, you're not going to be aware of it. So let's get conscious. Let's pay attention.
You will not appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So, Peter, great show. And I am looking forward to the possibility of having you back to dive into some more of this stuff, because I love where your heart is. I love the way you share and express this amazing amount of information that you have accumulated in your experience. And I enjoy and relish those kind of conversations, because we don't get to have them very often. So
I've really enjoyed being here with you. Yeah, I look forward to doing it again. Let's do that.
Thank you. Me too. Okay. Guys out there, let's take a second to wrap it up. And I just want to say, the name of the show today was about appreciation to happiness, building that super highway to joy and to happiness. And for me, it is a super highway, because once you start contributing to that field of energy, once you start contributing to that momentum on a regular basis, even if you start small, you will find a profound impact on every area of your life just by choosing it and then stepping into it and taking the steps in appreciation to start building that energy. You will find extraordinary change. And that will begin to also unravel and change your relationship with fear. So that's my thought for the closing. Would you like to add something to that, or bring your own thought?
Jim, I don't think I could do better than that. I echo what you say. Just everybody, go for happiness. It's worthwhile, believe me, especially in these trying times in which you're living with COVID and some political unrest and one thing and another. Choose happiness. You'll be happy you did.
You'll be happy you did. Amen to that. Guys, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of the show. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. Peter, I appreciate you so much, and we'll talk after. And if you can hang out, I'll catch you on the other side of the closing.
Sure.
And guys, have an amazing day. Please like, share, subscribe, and all that kind of good stuff. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. Thank you for being here. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.